Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think maybe Ryan's already took off, but maybe he can still hear me, but I think that's what he gets when he comes up here and criticizes the Tampa Bay Bucks. God speaks. He's a Bucks fan. Now, really, the first service, he came up and he said, did the same kind of thing, except he used the Chicago White Sox because he knows I'm a White Sox fan, so he said something about the White Sox record compared to the church softball team record, and he made some kind of a hit on that, and I asked him how he liked. I said, well, that's fine, but how's your team doing in Denver? Oh, wait a minute. You guys don't have a baseball team. And so, here we are today to talk about encouragement. A lot of that goes on here all week, that kind of encouragement, but we have fun. You know, I just want to, I don't know if they've all taken off, but I want to say right here, as far as encouragement goes, I just want to thank our worship team. Don't we have a great group of people who love the Lord and just praise every week? Thank you. Today's message is on Barnabas. But really, it's more about who Barnabas was. What kind of a person was Barnabas? You see, Barnabas was a person who was an encourager. He was an encourager to all those that he came in contact with. He was an encourager especially to new believers, but he was an encourager to Paul and many others. You know, over the years, since coming here, I've had quite a few messages that were difficult, to say the least. Some subjects that were hard, and we've had to have those kind of conversations and those kind of teachings, and that's part of being in this role, because you have to preach the Bible, and sometimes the Bible is fun, and sometimes the Bible is hard. And so I've had those messages. But today is not one of those. Today is a message that's more fun, at least for me. It's a message that's fun because it's talking about a subject of encouragement, and that's something that we all need. As we find ourselves here today, it's a subject that we all need, and so it's a fun thing to talk about, a fun topic. There have been many encouragers in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm sure if you sat down and thought about it, you could write down a lot of names. As a pastor, I have an opportunity and a blessing to be able to go and be with people at some of their worst times. One of the things I like about being a pastor is that I get to be in people's lives in the best days and in the worst days of their life. That's really pretty special. I get to be there for the weddings and all the fun stuff, the graduations, but also in there for times of visitation and hospitals and eventually even death. And so I've been blessed with that. And so when I go and visit someone who is sick and who is dying, I think about that. I think, you know what, I'm going to go and try to give them a blessing, try to help them get through this time. But you know what, the Lord, through many opportunities, has turned that around on me. And I think of a few special people that I've been blessed to be in contact with. One of which, as far as encouragement goes, one of which was Jerry Benefield, a person that her son now comes to church here and so forth, and so some of their family does. But Jerry was one of those kind of people, like many others, who was a real encourager. I think of Marv and Jane Goad, Carl and Linda Holt, and Vella Poynton. These were all people, special people in my life, that I got to spend time with in their worst days, so to speak. But yet I would go visit them, and when I left there, it was like I'm the one that got the encouragement. I'm the one that left feeling good, and I went there to try to help them, but they just wouldn't have it. That was fine, but let's talk about you. How are you doing? Well, instead of me praying for them, it turned around. They wanted to pray for me. Those were special people in my life. You guys have been great encouragement for Barb and for I. Both of us have enjoyed being here, and we still do. We love it here, and we love you. And you guys have been kind with letters and cards and gifts and phone calls and things that are encouraging to us all the time. And we need that. It's important to us, and we're grateful for the encouragement that you guys have been for us. But how about you? Can you name some people in your life who have been real encouragements to you? Hopefully you can. Hopefully you can remember those people and always hold those people at a special place in your life. But today, let's take a look at this special servant that we're talking about. We're in the middle of a series on servants of the New Testament. Men and women that were great servants. People that we need to know more about. It's been a wonderful series so far for us in our study time and in putting these together, because because it helps us to really dig deep into some people's lives and see how special they really were. And today we're going to talk about another special servant. His name was Joseph, a Levite who was born in Cyprus, one of the largest islands in the Mediterranean, located about 60 miles off the coast of Syria. Later, the apostles, though, changed his name. They gave him a new name. Remember, they did that with a number of people in the Bible. But they gave him a new name, and his name was Barnabas. And what did Barnabas mean? It meant the son of encouragement. The Greek meaning for that was to this name was to put courage into someone else or to come alongside of. That's a pretty cool name. Wouldn't you be privileged and honored to be called a Barnabas? Somebody who encouraged others, who come alongside of them to be special in their life. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, here's what he says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." They were doing that at the time, but he was trying to encourage them in their encouragement. And so we want to start right there this morning. The first service, we were really blessed. We were able to pray for Mariah and Fane. She is getting ready to leave today, this afternoon, for the Marines. And she came up and we laid hands on her and we prayed for her. We were blessed this morning to have a pastor, a youth pastor that I served with for a number of years. John Ault and his family were here. And John is in the U.S. Navy, works with the Navy and the Marines as a chaplain. And he happened to be here today. He's on leave and he's getting ready to go into San Francisco. He's been in Japan for a number of years. He was here today. He came up, and it was really neat to have him be part of that hand-laying-on ceremony that we had with Mariah. It was just nice to have him here. But we were blessed to have that. I don't know if there's any people here today that are currently still in the military, but I know there's people here that have family in the military. Who has family that's actively serving in the military? Stand up. Because you know what? You play a big role in this too. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to encourage you all, let you know we are praying for you, and we want to thank you for those who are serving, your family members who are serving us and serving this country. Thank you. Also, a big thing in my life, over the past 4 or 5 years, and I'm not perfect at it, I try hard, but I fail at times. But I've started a process of every time I run into somebody on the street, somewhere, anywhere, that's in a uniform, military, I stop, I go over to them, and I thank them for their service to the country. And that means a lot to them. I was talking to John about that a little bit this morning. It's special. It means a lot to the soldiers to know that somebody's praying for them and actually appreciates what they're doing. But the other one, too, is police officers. Both firemen, policemen, EMTs, all those people who risk their life to serve us. And I know right now, especially with police officers, they're getting a bad rap all over the country, a lot of them. Now, it's like any profession. There's some that aren't perfect. Okay. But for the most part, our police officers and our firemen and our medical people are doing everything they can to help make our life better and to protect us. So I don't know if there's any firemen, policemen, EMTs in the audience today. If you're here, please stand. Anybody? Justin? You looks like you're alone today. Thank you. We have a number of police officers here in our congregation and some other firemen, but we have a number of police officers. They need your encouragement. When you see them, tell them that you're praying for them, especially right now. Life is hard, and their life is hard, and they need all the encouragement that they can get. Well, let's take a look at Barnabas. Barnabas was entitled in the book of Acts, a good man. The only person in the book of Acts that was given that title. A good man, and that was Barnabas. Doesn't mean that he was the only good man in the church history, but it was one that was signified and one that was pointed out. Barnabas, a good man. Barnabas was known for providing help and being able to encourage people to meet their needs, to help them when they were down and discouraged. And Barnabas was especially good at encouraging new believers. And if you read the book of Acts, there were a lot of new believers coming on the scene all the time, thousands. And so he was there to help a lot of them and to encourage them because it wasn't easy. They were up against a lot of difficult situations as new believers. It wasn't like it is for us. You know, we may take a little bit of ridicule. We may take somebody giving us a hard time at work or at school, but it wasn't anything like it was. But those people needed encouragement, and Barnabas was there to do that, to comfort the hurting, to be there and welcoming to people. Barnabas' type of ministry is the basis for our ministry here, our Helping Hands ministry that Pat and Barb Hannon lead. And it includes so many people that are working every day, every week to try to help others, to meet needs, whether it be at the PAC Center, the Clothesline Ministry, the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, the fellowship team, the people who send out cards of encouragement to you guys all the time. That group of people are out there trying to meet the needs and trying to encourage our body. We're blessed to have Lisa with us, and she's a township trustee, and she works really hard every day to help those who are in need in this community. Thank you, Lisa, for what you do. But we all know that Barnabas not only played a role in encouraging, but he was a major role in the starting of many new churches in that time, in that day and age. Why? He started these churches out of his love for God and out of his love for others, and he knew the need that people had for Jesus Christ in their life. And he played a major role as a church leader in those early days. Here's one worthy note. Barnabas trained Paul. You think, man, how would that be if somebody came to you and said, listen, would you mind training Paul? Well, that's a pretty big task, right? And look what Paul went on to do. God used him in a mighty way, but he did because of what Barnabas did in the beginning to set up that. Later, Barnabas was able to go on missionary journeys with Paul, and they served together to take the gospel out to the world that didn't know about Jesus Christ. Barnabas also went to bat for Paul. You see, Barnabas was not, Paul was not exactly a great person, right? He was a killer of Christians. He lived a pretty bad life. And so I'm sure that even though there was no CNN, there was no Fox News, everybody in the Christian world that day knew about Paul. And now here's Barnabas coming to the church leaders and saying, hey, here's what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. His life has been changed, and now God wants to use him in a mighty way. Give him a second chance. And I'm here to tell you that I support him in that, and I am encouraging you. They respected Barnabas. He was very respected, so they listened to what he had to say. And he led the way for Paul. Some of the character traits that Barnabas had, the list is just phenomenal. He was faithful. He was big-hearted. He was courageous. He was generous. He was humble. He was self-sacrificing. He was open-minded. He was bold. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was a true encourager of other people. Wouldn't that be great if that's what somebody said about you? If our eulogy was being read and they stood up here and they said, this is what your life looked like, these characteristics, that'd be something we could all strive for. You know, without Barnabas, there might not have been a Paul, because he helped the way to clear the way for Paul. God has he had a purpose for Barnabas. One was to do just that, to set the groundwork so that Paul could do his thing, so that Paul could do what God called him to do. Only Paul could do that. His task was huge, but God knew that Paul was the right guy, and Barnabas helped set him up for that. The second thing was he knew that the people that were coming to Jesus Christ needed encouragement, and that was Barnabas' second major goal, was to be an encourager to people. All of us in ministry have people that's played a big part in our life. Those of us who are in the full-time profession of ministry, when we received that call to serve Jesus Christ, there were people in our life, I'm sure, that were there to encourage us and to help us. I had a pastor in Florida, and when I was still part of a business world and still working in the business field, but yet I felt the call of God to go into the ministry, and he sat with me many times, and we had many conversations about that. He was a real encourager to me when it came to going into ministry. But when I got here, guys like one of our elders, Rick Jones, was very instrumental in helping encourage me to go into ministry, as well as another couple other guys there, Bob Smith and Mick McGee. These four men were probably the most instrumental in me making the decision to be obedient to God's call. And you know, God can call us, and sometimes we're obedient and sometimes we're not. But they encouraged me to be obedient and to follow and to do what God was leading me to do. So they were a very big part of my role as a pastor previously, even before coming here. And then as part of this church, we have a leadership that believes in encouragement. We have leaders of this church, and you should be proud of them because they are encouragers. We get a lot of messages from them. I do. And I'm sure Pastor Jeff and Pastor Ryan do as well. These guys who encourage us in our job. They know that there's good times and bad. They know that it's not always easy, even though I know a lot of people think we only work on Sundays. Really? That was supposed to be a joke. Maybe, yeah, maybe that's not a joke. Well, I can guarantee you we're not just here on Sundays. Stop by sometime and see us. But anyway, they are here to be encouragers to us, and they do a great job. And you guys have done that as well through your cards and your gifts and number of things like that. The body has been a big encouragement as well. Let's take a look, though, a closer look at Barnabas for a minute. Barnabas entered the scene in Acts 4:32. This is the first time we hear about Barnabas. And he entered it in a realm of generosity. But before we get into verse 32, let me read verse 31 because it sets it up. It helps you understand what kind of church this was that he was a part of. Verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the kind of church that Barnabas was connected with. This was the church that they were at. This church was filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Because it was a church that had unity. They were together. They were unified. They were magnified. People in the community looked to that church and had favor with the people that were part of that church. And then finally, they multiplied. They were growing. The Lord was adding numbers every day. So they were a unified church, a magnified church, and a multiplied church. This church was a good church that Barnabas was connected with. But here's what he goes on to say as he describes the church that Barnabas is at. It says, all the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any gift, any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands and houses sold them and brought the money from the sale and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. You see, Barnabas saw a need. He had resources. He sold those resources to meet that need. That's the kind of person Barnabas was. He cared about others. Now that went on, and if you read past that story, you read about Sapphira and Ananias, and they were not really that way. They saw this as an opportunity to envy somebody and to try to have and let pride come into their life, and they were going to do the same thing, but they really didn't give all the money to the Lord. They kept it back. And that's not the real point of the message, is that they kept the money back. They didn't have to give the money, but they lied. They made it seem like they gave it all, and they really didn't, because they wanted to build themselves up. And being generous for the Lord is not about building somebody up except for God. We don't need to let anybody know what we do. We do it because it's between us and God gets the glory. But we should be generous givers, but we do that with the right attitude. And that's what's important. But why did Barnabas feel the need to give it away? The answer is very clear. We find it in verse 32. It says, all believers were one in heart and mind. You see, Barnabas truly understood the principle that everything we have is God's. We don't really own anything. We get to use it or manage it while we are here on this earth, but we don't own it. God does. And so he understood that, and so he gave that money, or he gave that resource that he had to help somebody else. Because that's what he wanted to do. It wasn't about look at me. It should never be about look at me. It should be about look at God. God's the one that gets the glory for our generosity. Our Helping Hands ministry follows that principle the best we can. We never make a big deal out of what we do. I never call the newspaper and ask them to come and take pictures of what we're doing. None of those kind of things. Because you know what? What we're doing is between us and God, and it's for God. It's not to build us up. It's to build God up. So I think it's important, and I know our ministry follows that the best they can. Sometimes you can't help it. They just show up. But we try to do that the best we can do. We really, truly just need to be humble and quiet givers. It is between us and God. He knows our heart. and he knows what really truly matters. Barnabas gave of his resources, but he also gave his affirmation. Barnabas was a guy of affirmation. What does that mean? It means that he gave emotional support, or he gave just plain old everyday encouragement. So let's look at that part of Barnabas's life. As I said earlier, that Barnabas laid the groundwork for Paul, which we see in Acts 9:27. This is where it continues with Barnabas's life. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. That's Paul. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. He went to the leaders in defense of Paul, or Saul at that time, and he tried to be a person who gave him a second chance. He shared with the apostles Paul's story. He loved Paul. He saw in Paul a real benefit to the kingdom, and so he supported him. Barnabas' reputation was so good that no matter what Paul had done, the people of that church believed Barnabas. That goes back to that list of character traits that I read to you earlier. You see, we never know what God has in store for us if we're willing to serve him faithfully. We never know if our encouragement to someone or our willingness to give someone a second chance will be all it takes to get them on the road to serving God in a big and mighty way, whatever God has in store. But the main point is that we need to be willing. We need to be willing to be used. We don't have to be in charge, but we need to be willing to be used by God. Like Barnabas, we need Christian people especially, who motivate others to be all they can be in the Lord, to come alongside of people that God places in your path. And believe me, he does place people in your path. If you're watching, if you're listening, he places people in your path. People that are looking for encouragement. People who need help. Paul and Barnabas had a great relationship, and Barnabas was huge in the spiritual foundation of Paul. Later in the book of Acts, we find Barnabas also giving this second chance to his cousin, John Mark. Paul and him didn't hit it off real well when John Mark decided to leave in the middle of a missionary journey. But the good news is later on, Paul made up with John Mark and Barnabas, and they all served and worked together. And they were all right with the Lord together. Later, we find that account. After Paul and Barnabas separated, they went their different ways. But because of that, God used them both. John Mark went with Barnabas. Paul took Timothy, and they went two different directions, but they were serving the Lord and sharing the gospel. So that's the story of Barnabas. The question I have for us this morning is, do you know someone who is like Barnabas? A man or woman of compassion, encouragement, and who could and does befriend anyone? Do you have people in your life that are like that? I hope so. I hope you do. I hope we're like that. I want you to take a moment, if you would. There's a card in your bulletin, and we're going to come back to that in a minute. But if you have a person in your life that's a Barnabas, write that person's name down. Pray for them, encourage them, do what you can to encourage them if they're an encourager to you. Make sure you remember them in your prayers. I also have something else that I want us to think about before we leave this morning. There are people all over the world that are hurting. They're hungry, they're alone, they're in conflict, they're just trying to survive, they're just trying to get through one day at a time. There are also people all over this country who are confused. They're struggling to figure out their plan for life. They're struggling with what they believe to be true. They're struggling with truth. They don't know what truth is. They're trying to figure out their place in a culture and in this time and in this space. It's a crazy world we live in, isn't it? Every day it seems like there's another crazy activity going on somewhere. If you listen to the news or look on the internet or read a newspaper, you can't help but see it. It's a crazy world. A lot going on that's not good. There are people all over Michigan City and LaPorte who need help. They need a friend. They need someone to come alongside of them and to walk through this life with them to fill the gap. And there are people right here this morning, in this room, maybe in your aisle, that are hurting. Their life is full of turmoil, but they hide it well. You know the old, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. But inside, they're falling apart. Inside, they're torn up. Inside, they're hurting. Maybe it's a single mom trying to raise children on her own. Or maybe it's a dad that's trying to keep a marriage together. Or maybe it's a dad that's trying to tear a marriage apart. There might be people who are struggling financially to the point that they don't even know how they're going to have money for their next meal or be able to pay any bills, or they're afraid of losing their own home. I'm telling you, it's out there. It's here. Maybe they are out of work or at a dead-end job that doesn't pay enough to make ends meet. People, even Christian people, need a friend. We all need a friend. Someone to give us a hug. Someone to tell us that we're loved. Someone that's going to say, it's going to be all right. Every one of us here today need a Barnabas. You know, everybody can't preach. Everybody can't teach. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't do certain things as far as our gifts and the ministry. But I want to tell you something this morning, if you don't already know it. Every single one of us here today can encourage people if we want to. We can choose to be an encourager. And so my question is, so if it's not you or me, who is it? Are we depending upon the world to be the encourager for believers or for any of us? Probably not going to happen. And if it's not now, when? When are we going to do it? Is it something we can put off and maybe do later? Well, let me tell you, as you well know, life sometimes has surprises, and we may not have a time to be an encourager, or the person that we need to encourage may not be around. So the time is now. Who's been the Barnabas in your life? Here's a better question. When are you going to be a Barnabas in someone else's life? It's nice to have people encourage you, believe me. We enjoy that. Most people do. But the question is, when am I going to be an encourager for someone else? And that is what's important as well. When will you come alongside of someone, like the definition describes? Whether it's send a letter, a card, an email, a private message, maybe it's make a phone call or pay a visit, or take somebody out for coffee, or take somebody out for lunch, and sit them down and tell them how much they mean to you, to tell them how important they are in your life, and to say thank you for the way you serve the Lord, and encourage them. Because there's plenty going on that is discouraging, and we need to be encouraged. That might be the nursery workers that are taking care of your kids right now. Or maybe the teachers back in Sunday school that are teaching your kids right now. Or the youth leaders. Or anybody else that's serving you in some way. We need to show appreciation more. Encouragement more. A simple thank you. A basic hug. We all need to make the effort to encourage others. To look for God. And to look for Him in a way that helps us understand who is in need. And who needs us? We need to be on a path of encouragement every day. What I'm going to ask you to do is something a little bit different than we ever do. Inside your bulletin is a card. Hopefully all of you got a card. If you didn't, there's more out there. You can do this later, but if you have a card. Instead of singing a song together this morning, we're going to take time, quiet time, to just do something. You can listen to the video as you do it. And when the video is over, I'm going to come back up and close us in prayer, and that will conclude the service. But what I want you to do is take that card out, and I want you to think about, who do you need to encourage? Who do you think needs encouragement? Maybe who God has placed in your path that needs encouragement. It could be somebody in this room, and if so, when you're done and when the service is over, find them and give them the card. If they're not here in this room, then take that card tomorrow or this afternoon and put it in the mail and mail it to them. But so often we as people, whether it's Christian or not, we have great ideas and we may even have great applications that we sit up here or stand up here and tell you and tell ourselves, but then we get busy. Life is busy. We leave here, we go to lunch, we forget about it, and next thing you know, it's past and they're like, oh yeah, I was going to do that and I never did. Well, I don't want us to do that. I want us to do it right now. I want you to take the time right now to find someone to encourage, write a little note of encouragement, put your name on it and give it to them either today or send it out in the mail. Because I'm going to tell you something. Believe me, we all need encouragement. I know for a fact that there are people in this room right now who are hurting. As a pastor, we have the privilege of being a part of everyone's life, good, bad, or indifferent. One of the things I have always loved about being a pastor is that I have the opportunity to be involved in people's lives at the worst moment and at the best moment. Weddings and graduations, but also in the hospital and funerals. And it all goes together. But I know you guys. I know what's going on in your lives, a lot of you. And I know that there are people in this room today that are hurting, that are just hurting and crying out, and they need your help, and they need you to encourage them. So think about that, pray about that. Who would that person be for you as you watch this video? So like I said, I know there are people in the room right now that are crying out to God, I need you now. They're hurting. The good side about when we're hurting and when we're crying out to God is that we are crying out to God. And that we are in a place where we need to be crying out to Him because He has the answers. But the other side of that coin is He's telling every one of us, we are His hands and His feet. And one of the ways that God will help people through their tough times is through us. It's through me and through you and our ways of encouraging those who are in need of help. So look around. Always be looking around. Always be looking for ways to be a Barnabas in someone's life. People need it. We all need it. You need it. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for Barnabas. I thank you for what he did to help Paul to do what he has done through his writings and through his teachings and through his life. Lord, Barnabas played a big role in that, and I thank you. But I also thank you, Father, that Barnabas was an encourager. And Lord, it's given us an opportunity as a church to be an encouraging church. How fun can that be? Lord, if we're constantly looking for ways to encourage others, we're constantly looking for people who need to be lifted up, who need a hug, who need someone to come alongside of them to make their life better. How much more fun can that be? And so, Lord, as I said, that this message today is a fun message. It's a fun message because we have the privilege and the honor to be able to be that Barnabas to people all around us, in this room, outside of this room, those who need help. So, Lord, I challenge all of us to do that. Don't let this day pass without filling out that card, and let that continue long after today. And let in the days and the weeks to come, let us be a church of encouragement to each other. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. As we leave this place today, I pray blessing upon all of us. In your name I pray. Amen.